Take notes. Pray about what you learn. Don't do anything. Don't even breathe without asking me first. You want to do what? You want to set up a team. I should tell you the future of your team. And this is how Satan has dealt with people everywhere. Forget that now people don't get pregnant because of morning after pill. Because they don't get pregnant because of morning after. I've almost forgotten the name again. Morning after pill. You think because you don't get pregnant, it means it's cool. In the past, team member belle for big. Team member, big stomach. Never marry a big belle. Big stomach. So the team would have added weight around the waist. Who is responsible? Team head. Team leader. Team leader is responsible for the big stomach, big team member. These days, team member's belly stays flat and team head goes on. You don't know we are in trouble. You don't understand how trouble works. You don't know in the spirit realm. You think the baby did what? He's in heaven waiting for you. Hopefully you make it. Yes, now. Some of you, the number of people that will say, daddy and mommy, when you come, you'll be weak. You have no clue. I've told you, you don't understand spiritual things. I say the number that will show. Mommy. Yeah. Now, listen. If you're a child of God, don't worry. You'll be happy. Everybody will be happy. Nobody will be looking at you with condemnation. Mm-mm. There will be a lot of joy. Everyone will be happy. I was joking towards the end, you know, but it will be an exciting thing. Wow, all of them. It will make you love Jesus more. You wait, let me find Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for raising them for me. Oh, yeah. Cool. So it's going to be good. Don't feel guilty if you've committed abortions in the past. You've repented. Have peace. But I'm serious. I'm not joking. Guys will show up. Daddy. Hey, what? I didn't have any child. Till I died, I was praying, God, why have you not given me a child? Oh, you had. You had. You just didn't meet. He was on the other side waiting for you. You had. God apportioned 3 children to you. All of them are alive. God, I stayed all those years, no child. Don't worry. You had. Medical science could help me. No, God had helped you. Be careful how you live, Sha. Be very careful. The spirit realm is a realm where reality is. And in that realm, there's a mountain. And that mountain has protocol. That mountain has protocol. The law of the mountain, Ezekiel 43. We didn't finish Obadiah. So go to Obadiah again. Let me finish that and then move to Ezekiel 43. I'll take a question or two and then we pray. On Mount Zion, there will be what? Is this the mountain we saw in Hebrews 12? Did you see that you should listen to the warnings on the mountain? If on your version of the mountain, there's no warning. Did we see in Hebrews 12 that there's warnings? Did you hear it say he's warning us from heaven? The heavenly Jerusalem, there's warnings in Mount Zion. Are we in agreement? Or is Pastor Ita twisting scripture to make it scary again? There's warnings. There's warnings. There's warnings. Samson was born on this mountain, the physical version, and he disobeyed God. He was to be a certain way. Again, maybe we'll still see it. Go. But on Mount Zion, there will be deliverance. And it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will reclaim their possession. On this mountain that there is deliverance, it will be holy. It is this holiness which people mock. Even preachers mock at holiness. Who has heard preachers mocking at holiness? Joking, saying, holy, you want to be more holy than... Who has heard? You're mocking at holiness, but you claim to be on this mountain. He said, on this mountain, it will be holy. It's not an option because you have come to God on this mountain. Did we see? You have come to God, the judge of all. What is God's other name? Holy, 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 holy. That's what some angels say to him permanently. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah, all that have seen saw the same thing. And this is where he is. How can he be anything but holy? Remember what holy means. It is separated from the ordinary. So if your life is ordinary perpetually, you are the opposite of holy. Holy by its nature means a unique and distinct thing. A separated thing, approach, manner, style, attitude, lifestyle. You're going to Ezekiel 43, verse 12. Let's read from 10. As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the people of Israel so that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. Are you hearing? Listen, as I'm describing the temple to you, when you think of your, what's iniquity? Anomia in the Greek is lawlessness. You should be ashamed of the areas of your life where you don't obey the laws of God, where you don't care. As you hear the description of the temple, I know this might confuse you. You're like, how? What's the connection? The connection, brother and sister, is that the more you understand the area you have brought in, you've been brought into, the more embarrassed you are. Like, is it in this place you're describing that I was doing anyhow? Do you understand? That's what it means. Describe it to them so they may be ashamed. The more you find out that in this place, when you want to drink from that cup, you hold it with two hands. Then you hold it straight like this. This is how everyone does. For the last 10,000 years, this is how they drink. And you realize when you came, you went like this. So, and you saw everyone sitting quietly. That innumerable company of angels, the spirits of judgment, they're like, who is this? He came, hey, yo, peace. You start being ashamed as it's being described. You go like, I'm not thirsty again. You move. That's what happens. The more you understand the things of God, the more shame you should feel about your lawless behavior. It's not a bad shame. It's the kind of shame that results in change. Are you understanding? For those that have been taught that you should never feel ashamed in the presence of your father, please, I've begged you over the years, I've prayed. Say, God, please help me to feel shame. Say it now. It's a prayer. Say, God, please let me feel shame. Amen. How many of you know that when you feel no shame about which result you take, you keep taking the same result? How many of you know that the road to change in your results condition, 23 out of 24 in the class, in primary school, that some shame contributes to doing better? Even as I said, help me feel shame. Some of you are like, no, I can never say that. Because your ignorance has grown wings. You better have the ability to feel shame. If I stand here and preach error and misquote and misread the Bible, when I leave here, I go and say I was wrong. I should feel shame. It's shame that will make me look at it carefully, and next time I'll be careful. I'm quoting, mentioning scripture and I didn't check. Well, instead of saying, let's open it, let me read. I just said anything and I said the opposite. I mean, I've done that once or twice. I made a mistake, all that. When I realize, that's wrong, I feel some shame and it makes me be careful. So next time I don't just take off. I say, open it first so I don't misfire here. Do you understand how shame works? Yeah. Shame makes you act according to the right way. Lack of shame makes you so. Am I the first person that's made a mistake? All right, leave it. Leave it. All right. Who knows they make mistake? So you go on making mistakes because you have no shame. I'll give you one more chance. Father, help me to feel shame. So you can do better. It's not bad shame. It's the good kind of shame. It's the kind of shame that makes you cover your clothes. Do you understand? It's the kind of clothes that makes you not cook anyhow and give anybody that came to your house any nonsense food. Water and salt. It looks like water, salt, and Maggie had an accident. It's a lack of shame that will make you marry without knowing how to cook. It's a lack of shame. And you know it will cause problems for you after you marry. Sisters, you don't know it will cause problems for you? After 1 month, he will not say, sweetie, your food is so nice. He will not say it. The truth will come out. Wait now, you see, Alpha. Is that first mafia problem? The condition that newly married men have. Oh, sweetie, your food is so good. Inside him, Jesus, save me. Sister in Christ, ask God to help you feel shame, I beg. You need to have shame. Shame, you need to deliberately ask people long, long, long before, how does the food taste? And tell them to tell you the truth. Don't be saying, I hope it's okay. Don't say, I hope it's okay. Say, give me your candid opinion. And stop giving hungry students the taste. They don't know the taste of anything. As long as it's hot and you pour pepper inside, nobody knows. You are the best. For free food. What else will he say? Take that thing, 2 spoons like this, and give a proper person. Give it to an auntie, not the overnight auntie, though. Say, auntie, don't lie. Auntie, tell me the truth. Give it to an auntie. Let there be hope. Start this long before. In the marriage guide, this came up yesterday under life skills. Did you read it? We read it this morning. It came out at night. Today's own. And it's okay. I prepared the day before. So, you know, you don't learn skills. You're hoping. I hope you like my food. Why on earth do you have that hope? That's called false hope. Did you practice? And who did you practice on? Yourself. It's like having body odor. You don't know you're smelling. You don't know how your food tastes. This is all you know. You hammer it together, hammer and nail, bah. You bring it out. You say, I tried. I tried. Don't ask questions like that. Say, how does it taste? And give it to someone that will be honest and straightforward. And give them when they are not hungry. Have you heard me? Yes. Have I helped you?
Yes,
this is love. Do it now. It's something where we say, your husband go to keep face straight. Where you didn't chop your top. Keep your husband face straight. Say, God, is this my future? Inside him, that dread, that sense of horror he's feeling. Oh, God. And then the longer it keeps quiet, the worse it is. Because how will he now tell you? 6 months later, and you being a woman, you go like, so that's what you've been carrying your mind since. Somehow you thought I'd make him feel guilty for that. Men. Man, well done. Women. Repent. And learn how to cook. Someone here cannot cook. That's why I stopped a serious message about holiness. That's the only reason I stopped. You see this pastoral gift? There's a criminal here now, today. This is not theory. I don't mean a guy. I mean a girl. You don't know how to cook and you're not small. If I stand right now, I'll point you out. You can't cook. Your food is bad. And Jesus loves you so much. In the midst of holiness preaching, he came and pointed. He's trying to save your future from shame. Receive it with thanksgiving. Say, thank you, Jesus, sisters.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's no sisters meeting till next month or two. So that's all I can give you for now. Learn how to cook. Practice. Stop living in the hostel. Okay, even if you have to live in the hostel, when you go home, stop saying, my mother is the best cook on earth. Stop it. Stop all that rubbish. Become the daughter of the best cook. Cook. And say, mommy, when she says, please leave my kitchen, say, mommy, stop it. You not embarrass me. Don't joke with your mother again like that. Tell her to stop it. Mommy, I am 23. Learn how to cook. Cook well. You have to cook like 2,000 times to even start being cook. Stop fanning yourself. I really tried. No, there was this time. Everybody in my house knows. Everybody in your house does not know that you just by mistake. And the salt was too much. You put small water. And it was food for two people. Two people tasting. You now say that's cooking. Two people's food. Make sure this pot of soup, 15 people can eat it, 20. Oh, you didn't understand, right? Oh, you've been doing this, your food for three. Mothers, you see the persuasion we have? You see how they are reacting? They are holding Jesus. So all this time I've been talking, they are like, oh, it's not me they are talking about. Food for three. That's not cooking, I beg. You cook in the size of the pot. They will eat it 3 days. Five people eat it for 3 days. That's cooking. Any other thing, you're a joke. Okay, enough of you are guilty now. Before you thought it was one sister. You know plenty? You know Sabi cook. Except your family, they are going to be three. Your husband's people will come. When they say, when you bring food, have you heard the story of the husband that put leg for his wife? No, that said, darling, let me carry the soup and carry them purposely fell. Who has not heard the story before? A husband's people came to the house and he was a loving husband. How do we know? He went in, tasted his wife's soup. There was excess salt. He had damaged the food. He wondered how. All the relatives were waiting. They had been waiting. How do I do this? How will you do? There's nothing. He carried the soup. Oh, let me carry and go. Oh, yeah, darling, bring the rest. What it? Oh, sorry. His wife came. What is this? Sorry, they went hustle something else, gave them everybody sorry, this and that. And later, I don't even know when he told her. She was still saying that, I don't even know. Darling, you can't be careless like that. And she looked at him, he looked at her and said, darling, the food was bad. There was no way I could say the food is there is bad because they all say, so your wife cannot cook. All of them will carry it to the village. So the best thing I could do to save you all around without even making you a liar, I couldn't even tell you. So you won't have to say, oh, it's me, my fault. I took your stripes. Good husband. That's when she understood. Understanding moved in. Don't pray. See, very few men will do that. They all gang up with their relatives. I don't know what my wife has done. Even me, that cannot lie. And I don't like the ground. So I don't know if I'll be able to fall like that. But my wife can cook very well. So it's you I'm pitying. Learn how to cook. As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the people of Israel so that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. Let them measure the plan, and if they are ashamed of all they have done, then make known to them the design. There's the plan, then there's the design. Oh, dear God. Oh, dear. When will we study the Bible? Who's praying for one day where we study Bible? We study plan first, then we study design. Now, this is a plan. Small. But there's more than plan, there's design. That one I'm not sure we've ever touched. God, time, no day, nah. All sorts of other things. It's arrangement and it's exits and entrances. You've heard me talk about that when I'm talking about the tabernacle of Moses and all of that. I'm telling you, it's a picture of the temple. All of this is real. It's arrangement and it's exits and entrances. It's whole design along with all its statutes, forms and laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may keep it keep its complete design and all its statutes and may carry them out. So there's a plan God has that follows. Can you see? You are supposed to know it if you feel ashamed of your past error. If you feel no shame, you will not be shown. If you don't feel bad about your error, you will not get to be told more. Are you understanding? There's a level of acceptance. The church that is being told constantly, the body of Christ that keep hearing, Jesus loves you just the way you are. They sing it in songs. It just goes on and on and on. Stroking your head. Stroking your head. Stroking. You can never be ashamed in his presence. I don't preach nonsense. See, all those servants of God on judgment day, they won't be happy. Me, I'm hoping to be. I know I'll be shaking. Because there's no way we have not. But I don't want to shake too much. I want covering small. The Bible says some may be found naked on that day. I don't want to be naked. I want clothes on me. I don't want to be ashamed when I see him. How will you not be ashamed when you're in the presence of holiness? Isaiah is in his presence. He's prophesying from chapter 1 to 5, chapter 6. He sees the Lord. He's ashamed. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Everybody, when they see God, they drop. John the beloved, he drops like a dead man. Your own, when you see the Lord, you say, oh, I was in the presence of Jesus. I just went, yay, when you. Be not. You're in the presence of who? And he went, yay, you went, you. You were in the presence of holiness and it did not illuminate your sediments. You're in the presence of a lying spirit. You're in the presence of holiness. When you're in the presence, when you draw near to the presence of God, the first time, 2016, we felt the presence of God come. We're in my parlor. We're still meeting in my parlor. Small room. First or second all-night meeting. Small room like this. And the presence of the Lord showed. See, me that had been squatting one leg like this, I couldn't move. Everybody... You know, all those years before, I used to hear people say the presence of God. I was like, Lord, please, I want to see your glory. I want to see. You know what people call glory? Say glory came in the room. Power was, people were falling. That's some anointing. That's completely different from the presence of Lord showing up. You don't know that one. Because this one, when we encountered it, everybody in that room, it was unanimous, including me, the preacher. Who was there? Don't raise your hand if you're not sure. Only one. Now, most of them, there were maybe about 20 people in that parlor. One is here now. The other workers are not. Where's the microphone? Take it this way. Tell me what your thoughts were. I was there, so I know my... I'm a Namibi preacher, and I wasn't walking any known sin. So, I had nothing to do.
So, it felt very creepy because, I mean, everybody wanted to see God, but everybody was now screaming out. I felt...
No, it's not the time you scream. Nobody was screaming.
Like...
Nobody made any sound.
Yes, I was like, is this God? There was that uncertainty in my heart, like, I thought God is loving and... Why are we all not wanting?
Are you talking about the next Friday? I'm talking about while it was happening.
Yeah. In my head. I was just afraid.
In your head? Okay, so you knew people were afraid?
Yes.
You're not describing. She's not describing, but she's trying. Maybe the trauma. I do know that the next Friday, I asked. So you know something happens, nobody talks about it. So the next Friday, 1 week later, I talk about it. So how many of you would like the presence of God to show again? And everybody, 100%, go. Not a single soul wanted God to come again. We didn't want. We rather, because we felt, people thought they would die. That meeting would end with corpses. And I remember hearing Rick Joyner say this years before, 15 years plus before. I remember I had his messages, his tape. And I heard him say it. I talked about how the presence of God showed, and people, he said the ground wasn't low enough. You wanted to disappear into the ground. And this was small. We didn't even see anything. It was just his presence. And his sister began to prophesy. He wasn't threatening. He wasn't saying bad things. But we felt the presence. It was the presence of Jesus. I say, the way you were, that's how you stayed. My leg was it was dreadful. We came out with that, and that whole thing, like, God, okay, we thank you, the heavens are the Lord's. The earth he has given to the sons of men. Don't worry, you understand what I'm saying. Someday, the presence of God will show up. Yeah. It's not when power is moving, unction, then people are falling, you take the presence of God. You don't know what the presence of God is. People are saying, Lord, send your glory. Don't hold back. You'll all be dead. You'll be dead. They'll pick dead bodies everywhere. God has never, once a while, just, then you hit a cloud, then you sprinkle small rain. That's what you see the presence of God. Presence of God is people's hair go white from having had an encounter. They had an encounter, their hair turns white. Who has noticed all these prophetic people, all these white people, their hair is very white? It's not a joke. It's not, the God read Isaiah 6, you understand? God is holy. So you don't come there, ring a rose, daisy, then the presence of your playful angel, maybe your guardian angel is the playful type. They will carry them out. The Lord wants us, someday, oh, God will help us. But this is where we are going. Jerusalem is holy. Have you heard? Jerusalem above is holy. Make sure you're not on Jerusalem below and thinking you're on Jerusalem above. Next verse. This is the law of the temple. All its surrounding territory on top of the mountain will be most holy. Yes, this is the law of the temple. Read with me from the top. This is the law of the temple. All its surrounding territory on top of the mountain will be most holy. Yes, this is the law of the temple. What's the law of the temple? All the surrounding territory on top of the mountain will be holy. Do you think you want to ascend the mountain of the Lord? Do you want to enjoy deliverance? Do you want to possess your possessions? What is the law of the mountain? Everything cannot be common. Everything, you can't be ordinary and live on top of the mountain. You may just be visiting once in a while. Now, God knew how hard it is for us. So, what did he do? I thought on this last week or two, 3 times a year, you shall appear before me. Remember? 3 times a year, you shall appear before me on the mountain. 3 times a year. They would ascend to Jerusalem. They would ascend to Jerusalem and they would get there and they would prepare themselves for the encounter. Then they would leave, then go back like that. But if you're going to stay here, that's why they had the priesthood. You were not like the ordinary person. You can't touch dead things because anything you touch defiles other things. That's why a priest, except for his wife and maybe his child, anyone that died, he couldn't touch them. He couldn't be defiled with a dead thing. He was a picture. Priests were not ordinary. On the high priest ban was written, holiness unto the Lord. Separated for the Lord. The Lord's. The Lord does not want us to be too ordinary. Some of you will be called to almost priestly consecration. You can't be ordinary. I tell people till today, I say, don't invite me for everything. I'm not playing. I'm not that servant of God that is in every meeting, every occasion. You don't understand. Leave me alone. See, when I get extra consecrated, you know it. If small consecration, then deeper consecration is levels. Sometimes you don't understand. God help us. Those guys had been with the Lord. His name was Peter. Someone came and stood in front of him and lied. He lied and died. The wife joined. She lied and died. That's what happens. It's the kind of thing that happens. I understand a bit. I've taught the church. I know I will confuse some of you, but it's okay. Pentecost, the bread that is offered is leavened. There's leaven in it. The bread offered at Passover has no leaven. This one has leaven, yeast. It's tainted bread, but it is used as a sacrifice. But we are going to tabernacles. There's not tainted bread there. It's a different time we are entering. We are going to have to be a people. This tabernacles, we are coming to it. This is where we are. We are on the brink of the new age. It's why there will be what you call the rapture, a resurrection, the Bible calls it. The first, and then there will be another 1,000 years later. It's a different season the world is entering, the church is entering. Again, you might not understand it too well, but it doesn't matter. If you keep coming, paying attention, you will understand with time. There's so much the church was to learn about the ways of God. Because it's only on top of that mountain that there will be deliverance. And you will possess your possession. If you are not on top of that mountain, did you hear all those things I was talking about? All the demonic powers and authorities that are coming in the earth? They'll take you down. Because you're not in the safe space. There's the safe place. It's on top of the mountain. The rule before you can even enter. Go and read the book of Revelations 21 and 22. The rule to even enter that space, you must be holy. You will not enter. So if you've not been taught about holiness, you don't comprehend the concept of being a set apart person, not being like everybody. Or when you hear it, you feel offended and say, Jesus died. What you're telling us to do is works. No, come, I'll teach you what works are. I've taught. Go and listen to my messages on the law, on works, on grace. None of it contradicts each other. When people distort it, they are doing 2 Peter 3:15. They don't know the scriptures. Paul's words are confusing them. Peter told you that Paul can be confusing, but it is because you are crooked. Let your heart be right. You understand it. God has given me understanding of those things and has given a few others. Why? Because when your heart is right, you understand. When you don't, you distort. So you read Paul and say, Paul didn't know what he was saying. You have the mind to do that. You're not supposed to say the Bible is wrong and you are right. It's very foolish for you to do that. The scriptures cannot be wrong while you are right. God is right. The law of the mountain is holiness. Are you hearing me? When you get to the place where you want to dwell with the presence of the Lord constantly, child of God, you are going to have to follow the rules of holiness. Don't touch defiled things. They are defiled things. You're going to enter a new dimension, a new phase. You're going to keep yourself clean. You pay attention to the Lord. You listen to His words. And you obey the regulations He gives you. He tells you, stop this friendship. It will defile you. You don't keep it and say, don't worry, I'm trying to help them. There's nothing of the sort. When they touch you, they'll defile you. And they don't have to touch you physically. You keep association with a dead body, a dead group, an unrighteous group. You know there are things that are not okay. You say, well, it's because of my mother. Don't be unserious. Your mother takes you to a preacher that is a juju priest. You know he's not okay. He's not clean. You say, well, I'm just asking God to cover me. Are you an absolute child? You'll be tainted and it will mess with the little consecration the Lord hopes to bring to you. You use your eyes, you watch anything. You use your ears, you listen to any kind of music. You say music is music. Music is not music. There's tainted music. There's music you're listening to and some of the background sounds are actual demons. When they were recording it, they conjured demons. Inside it. And it's playing in your house. You don't know what you're saying. You are the ignorant one. The Satanists know. And some of them have repented and told. There's conditions. You can't defile yourself with everything and anything and say it doesn't matter. Being set apart means that you separate yourself from certain things, because the rule for being on top of the mountain is holiness. Satan has fought this. Satan has fought this all over the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 14, 15 says, be holy as I am holy. It's not a suggestion. The word holiness is sanctification. That's the same word. From the root hagios, multiple renditions, hagios sune, hagios, be holy because I am holy. It is written. It's not if you like. You are coming to my space. In my space, you must be holy. I am holy. You want to be in my space? How can you come with dirty shoes, muddy shoes, on perfectly white carpet? How? And this is what pushes many people away from the presence of God, or from, example, a church. There's confusion, okay? There's a group, there's some groups. There's that group called Holiness Movement, something, something. And they say, if you wear short sleeve, even a guy like this one I'm wearing, you can see my elbow. Hell straight. Not hell, hell straight. It's straight. No branching. They will not pack for you to buy anything. Hell straight. Elbow. Not sleeveless only. The elbow, this one. You're a guy, you have to wear this. Long sleeve, okay? Cover like that. That's holiness. Multiple. That's what happened, because they had four spirits playing with their mind. So they're having revelations from demons. They didn't test the spirit. So the spirits joked with them, made them a joke. I once had the list. I don't know. People have not found my tract. I had a tract I saw from them. He had the list of all the things you do to go to hell. It was very impressive. It was a very long list. All of you are guilty. You don't need to see it. All of you are finished. According to that list, none of you have hope. Hell, straight. Let me accept this brother with a tie. But who knows if he has short sleeves at home. It was a terrible list. And they spread it, and people believe it. Unbelievable nonsense. Unbelievable. They believe it. That's not holiness. That's confusion. Holiness means being set apart in your heart and your life. James 1. It says, unspotted from this world. There's a lifestyle you are to live. Follow peace with all men. Hebrews 13. And holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. You want to see the Lord? Instead of just, you know what you guys will sing? I see the Lord. I see the Lord. Exalted. You're singing by faith. Let's agree on that. It's by faith you're singing. I hope to see the Lord will be more appropriate. You want to see the Lord? There's a price. Without peace and holiness, you will not see him. Peace, holiness, sanctification, holiness, they are in the same dimension. You can't jump from this dimension to the last. You can't go from the holy outer courts to the holy of holies. You must pass through the holy place. Are you hearing? It's three phases. The holy outer court, holy place, holy of holies. That's the tabernacle of Moses or the temple of Solomon. You can't jump. Follow peace. It's in the second dimension. And holiness, sanctification, without which no man sees the holy of holies, the third. It's all this is in scripture. There's a protocol to seeing the Lord. You want to be delivered, you will receive deliverance. You want total deliverance, you must go to the mountaintop. And holiness. Today's message involves the need to separate yourself from the things that will disqualify you from God's full presence. Your life can be 1,000 times better than it is, not for your selfish purpose, but to fulfill destiny. A day will come when you'll be very glad that you have found the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the cherubim. In that place, 1,000 will fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's not a prayer. Oh, Psalm 91, I pray it. So you pray it, so what? Many people that prayed it died in a ghastly motor accident. Praying it does not save you. Being found in the place in the spirit is what saves you. Is this clear? I'm going to answer some questions and we'll pray. As a Christian, what can one do about fathers who are practicing and preaching some errors? What should I answer? You face your side. What do you want to do? You want to find them? Did God send you any message? Face your side. I just showed you. Samuel didn't do nothing. God told him, tell. And he didn't even want to tell. Eli had to threaten him. What do you want to do? I've had dreams about servants of God. I went to South Africa. A friend of mine, because of how we are, you know, we don't gossip about things and all that. These are practices I've had for 20-something years. I take no delight in anything negative. None. That's why you don't hear me even speak against our country, our leaders, our government leaders, nothing. The only reason we mention error is because, you know, this preacher was talking and he said, we learn from the mistakes of others, but never do you open your mouth. And I asked my disciples that were there, how do you learn from the mistakes when you can't talk about it? Someone tell me how you learn from a mistake without talking about it. How do you know it's a mistake? Help me. I need help now. This is where you give back. Explain. Someone. Because the people I was with last night, they didn't know what to do. Tell me how you can learn from the mistakes of the fathers, but you dare not open your mouth and say anything. How? How do you learn from it? Who said it's a mistake? How do you know it's a mistake? You can't talk about it. Does your Bible talk about the errors of our fathers in the Bible? Does it? How do you learn when you can't talk about it? When everyone is threatened into silence, don't say anything. I had one subordinate in my office many years ago, not church office. I wasn't the full-time ministry. And if we're talking about something in the scripture, and I suspect that thing his church group believed in that error. You haven't called anyone's name, or you're not even referring to someone. You're saying, you know, the Bible says here, you know, and some people teach the open. Once you start talking Bible, he leaves the room. He leaves the office. Maybe I'm talking with the other worker there. He'll leave. You'll never be there. Why? What has he been taught? He's been taught that don't even stay where. I heard a preacher say years ago, he has changed his tune now. But years ago, he said, if you hear anyone say anything negative about me, slap him. I was walking past my parlor. It was a big parlor. The TV was that way. I was walking past a chair. I heard it. I stopped. You know why I stopped? And looked? I was waiting for him to smile, laugh, and say, no, he won't say that. He just say, there's no fear. Till I looked at the man and he repeated it. Slap them. You have not committed a crime. I saw he wasn't joking at all. There was zero joke. He said, if anyone criticizes me, slap them. He told his church members to do that. One day, I'm talking with one young man that was in the church. He used to like coming around my office to hear about, because maybe there are things his pastor says that I say. It's a common thing. Even though I don't listen to. And I said, so-and-so is wrong. And he was smiling. I said, that's where you slap me. You know that, right? He said, no, sir. Why would I say your pastor said? I just criticized him. You're disobeying your pastor. Because his pastor was not joking at all. And he lied. He said it wasn't a crime to slap someone. Because they said, your pastor is wrong. Or this thing your pastor says is wrong. You're teaching people things like that. Listen to me. When people, do you call them fathers or anything? What do you say? I can't find your question. As a Christian, what can you do when about fathers? First. I know I recorded a Red Church. I was interviewed for Red Church, and I talked about fathers just some days ago. and it should be out this week. When it comes out, watch it. Red Chair Truth. Follow it online on the different channels and follow the interview on fatherhood, spiritual fatherhood. You should learn something important. The scriptures say you should call no man father. You can keep on ignoring Jesus. Follow people. Let human beings. This is exactly why Jesus said that. Not because you shouldn't have spiritual leadership or fathering. It was because of this. So I follow the fathers. So all the so Jesus shall follow the Sanhedrin. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah should have followed the fathers. The fathers, Pashur, the priest, all of them. They beat him. They had him arrested, had him flogged, told him to keep silent from Babylon. Even when they took them captive, they would send a message from Babylon back to Jerusalem and said, I heard there's some rubbish guy that calls himself a prophet. You better control him. Those were the fathers who, Jeremiah was like 13 years when he started his ministry. You don't know. Was a child. 12, 13. Possibly, most likely. What is, go and read Jeremiah in case you don't know the kind of messages he brought. Then there are those that will say, no, God doesn't talk like that anymore. Have you read the book of Revelations? How can you read the book of Revelations and say God has changed? I don't know if people read their Bibles. The truth, child of God, is this. If you hear a servant of God saying error, don't believe it. Go on with your life. Read your Bible. There's nothing much you can do. If you hear someone saying something that is error, whether you know where they got it from or not, act like you don't know that they heard it from a man of God. Just tell them this thing is wrong. You don't have to talk about the servant of God. Just talk about the thing they are saying. Say, look at the scripture says here, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's all. I've shown it to you in scripture. It's your choice. Anyone that teaches you to respect them more than scriptures, your foolishness will do you in. So you respect a human being more than God. I said it here. It's open. It's not a secret. When Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollars, and all the people that preach abusive prosperity, wrong prosperity, preached it. And then they came out some years ago and said, we were wrong. Is it now wrong when they say it's wrong? Was it wrong before they said it was wrong? Then you saw people that said they are sons. They now join and said it is wrong. What is wrong with you? Did the scriptures change in 2018? Did the scriptures change in 2020? When did Creflo Dollars? 2021? I've told you about the Benny Hinn story. If you read Good Morning Holy Spirit, I tell everyone in this church, read Good Morning Holy Spirit. I didn't tell them any negative thing. I didn't tell them about errors. What's my own? What do I know? But when I know he's missed it a bit. It is what it is. And I remember praying. I told you, we prayed here. A sister of ours went for a meeting of his and was quite unhappy with how it went. And she told us, I went for this meeting and all he kept saying is, anyone will give $1,000? $1,000? So I told the prayer team that Monday, let's pray for Benny Hinn, that God please should restore him to how he was. On Wednesday or Thursday, Benny Hinn, the Benny Hinn, said it was in all the news. Go and check online, is there? Just count 2-3 days from that time. Know that we prayed for him. He came out before the whole world and said, we carried the prosperity gospel too far. Is it true because he said it, or was it true before he said it? What is it with fathers? Every time there's a whole generation that cannot think. They are waiting for the fathers to think. But you were told when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll teach you all things. And you change it to when the fathers come, they'll teach us all things. On judgment day, you'll find out when no father is called on your behalf, not one will be called. Say, please blame Papa. They'll blame nobody. You are fully accountable. You respected human beings more than God Almighty. Why did you? Why do you not fear God? Why don't you respect God? These fathers are not even dangerous like the time of the Dark Ages when they would kill you, burn you alive for disagreeing with them. What foolishness. They would burn you alive for having a different opinion. They'll tie you and set you on fire. The priests, the leaders of the church, they'll kill you with no regard. They won't even kill you before burning you. They'll burn you as you are. Now, what risk are you at? You are zero risk. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen to you if you disagree. Go around putting people in bondage, saying the fathers are wrong. You should, why don't you copy your fathers? That means you don't respect your ancestral heritage either. Are you not to respect your fathers, your natural fathers? Why don't you copy their ways? Why don't you worship idols? You disrespectful human being. You're a hypocrite and God will judge you. And I'm not praying for you. I'm informing you. I don't curse people. There's no way God will not judge you. The fathers did what? The fathers come out and tell you a lie. My child, listen to me. I have not said that it is wrong for your brother to steal and tell lies and be a criminal and armed robber. So you dare not say anything. Have you heard me? Because I have not said. What does that even mean? All over the body of Christ, especially this Nigeria, everybody is keeping quiet. This is exactly what they did throughout the ages. You don't know history. If you know history, if you know this, I always start. Nobody says anything. Everybody, I'm afraid. So I stand here, I read my Bible. I see clearly what it says. Then I think about how one of the fathers said the opposite. So I jump it. So I don't read this passage. It doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit tells me. I refuse to preach it. Because the fathers have not preached it. So I go elsewhere. So who is leading me now? And what kind of message am I bringing to you? When the fathers have misled us. Your Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a story of fathers missing it. Have you read your Bible? From Adam, they start missing it. I should copy because I'm a good child. Hey, maybe my Roman Catholic background affects me because literally they call them fathers. You never follow someone because they are in error. What is it? Everything we saw the other side, we came over here many years ago, 20 something years ago, we crossed over. I've watched the Pentecostals. Everything you used to talk against, you have done. Who was Roman Catholic here? Who was Roman Catholic? Who is coming from anywhere? Have they done it all or not? Worse! There's only one Pope. Now there's a Pope in every group. What did you used to criticize when you have done it all? And worse, I hate hypocrisy. I don't like hypocrisy at all. Hypocrisy is very bad. Very bad. Very bad. If you like, direct your life by the fathers. Don't follow the word of God. Better obey God and fear God. Jesus said, let me tell you who you fear. Fear the one. After he kills your body, you kill your soul. Yeah? Don't fear the fathers. Though. I fully counsel you. Samuel lived till a ripe old age. Have you heard me? That boy prophet, he lived long. Have you heard me? The Bible tells you how to live long through the fear of the Lord. Proverbs tells you it's through the fear of God. You live long. It's through fearing God, not the fathers. Have you heard me? There's one father. Matthew 23. You call no man father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. One. Matthew 23 verse 9. Human beings can be spiritual fathers. You listen to it in that interview I did on Red Church Truth. You hear me explain it. I can be a spiritual father to someone. I don't go around calling myself a spiritual father, but I'm a spiritual father to many people. And I explained it in that thing. And I'm a real spiritual father. I actually take care of my children. Actually lay down my life for them. It's real, not name. Not because you brought an offering then. This is my son in the Lord. And I don't even call my sons in the Lord and daughters. I don't even call them sons and daughters. When you are the real thing, I don't have to go around telling everybody, I'm the father of this children. I'm the father of these children. I am. You know. Look at them. Watch them. Listen to them. You know I'm their father. The traits, the grace, the characteristics. They know me inside out, to my bedroom and out. It's not theory. It's not a father by bringing, you bring cash, and then I vomit blessings. That's not... Sorry. Let me cool down. Error messes me up. And it is bad in this country. And we must stop it. We must stop it. Do not be swayed. If you hear anybody, I don't care their height or their length of this. If you follow them in their error, you receive the same recompense. Many of them have served God wonderfully. But like many, they have gone into error along the way. A mighty fortress is our God. Who knows that hymn? Written by Martin Luther. While he was writing it, he was having someone who believed in being baptized after giving their life to Christ. He was having them starved to death in a dungeon. Our Martin Luther, the great reformer. Anybody can be deceived. Adolf Hitler used his teachings and the things he said against the Jews to kill God knows how many Jews he killed. It is said that there are 6 million. He used the words of the greatest preacher Germany had produced to achieve that. His direct words. Because Martin Luther got angry at the Jews when he took them the gospel and they didn't receive it. So he said, wherever you see them, deal with them harshly. Years later, 300 years later, Adolf Hitler came and implemented it. That was our great Martin Luther. Don't joke. Don't joke with the fathers. Don't copy everything the fathers say. The fathers are good and bad. Have you heard of the old prophet and the young prophet? That young prophet died because of following the father. God tells you something clearly. You say, I'm following the father. You know how far when you end dead at the feet of a lion. God killed him himself. The lion didn't eat him. He just killed him and stood there and protected the body. Because God sent it. An old prophet killed him. You don't listen to error. Nobody, me, I've warned you so many times. If I ever get confused, maybe the unction of my life increases so much that when I come and stand here like this, everybody falls on the ground. And I just open my mouth. I say 3 things. You're lifted into the air. I walk. Next thing, I'm start. Because the unction will increase. Whether you like it, you're going to see it. You know, I don't pursue unction, but it happens naturally with time. When God chooses, then it just, it's like they top it. That will happen. Insight, revelation will happen. Encounters will increase. As long as I continue in obedience. Just length of time increases things. Just length of time by itself. Even with error, length of time increases things. Yes, some of you wonder, if God is not with this man, how come unction is increasing? You don't understand. Time, just time increases things. You get to understand the ways of the Spirit more. Now, that increases. And then I've said, if I go into error and start talking nonsense, I come here and say, do you know I am the second coming of Christ? Read stories. And it's not just God's General. God's General is a summary. Some of them, I'm reading the original book that God's General picked out 4 paragraphs from. And some, you're hearing from one side. I've told you before, God's General, there are errors in it. Robert Sladen, he talks about A.A. Allen, how he drank and all that. He doesn't condemn him. A.A. Allen was set up and killed by a church group. A massive denomination killed him. They assassinated him. And they set him up. It wasn't the first time they had tried. The doctor faked the autopsy. The money they paid him, $10,000 cash. When he died, they found it. He wrote there, apologizing. Clipped the check. He never cashed it. He lied. You didn't hear me. The doctor that said A.A. Allen was found with this thing full of alcohol, lied. They set up that place. He did not. He was not drunk. He was set up. This was found out not too long ago. Can you imagine after how many years of the whole world knowing how A.A. Allen died and it was a lie? That is why the Bible says, judge nothing before the time. Wait till we, See, I've told you the biggest film show premiere is called The Day of Judgment. Get front seat. Because you will see, your mind will explode when you know the truth. When you sit down, what? All of that time, you just be like this, shaking. Let's presume you are perfect yourself. Perfect. You have attained perfection. You'll be weak. And when you know real history, when the real history of the world and the church is played out. Me, I found out this long ago. So I said, let me read my Bible now. I don't want too many shocks. I've told you in the age, I think on judgment day, people just be walking around with their mouths open. One thousand years. For all the error you believed. You can know the truth, though. The truth will make you free. It's not that hidden. He gave us the Spirit. He said, you teach us all things. Why don't you believe it? Because you go to others to teach you. You refuse to learn from the Spirit of truth. You don't search. Those Berean Christians did what? They searched the Scriptures daily. We don't come here daily, but we come often. You should try and hang out with people that search the Scriptures, not those who tell or preach it. Are you hearing me? There's a difference between searching something and being told. I've listened to preachers at different times and they just keep talking. And I keep wondering, yesterday night, it was a 20-minute clip from a full sermon. And multiple, I've told you how God trained me from the 90s. As you're talking, let me tell you how it works. As it, I don't know the Bible much because I haven't read it enough, okay? I apologize. I will repent. I'm trying to repent. These are the areas where I am guilty, okay? So I'll read it better. I'll know the Bible. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking at all. If you ask me, how much Bible do you know? I'll tell you, I think I know 3% of the Bible I should know. That's what I believe in my heart. I'm not joking. I don't mean memorizing. I mean knowing. I don't know Bible properly yet. I will. If you guys would give me space, I'll read my Bible more. I've been very busy with you guys. So I want to train people to take care of people so I can go back and read my Bible. I haven't read my Bible properly since early 2000s. I know you think I'm being facetious. I'm not. Last time I studied my Bible was before 2010. Properly. You don't believe. You will believe. Don't worry. You know when I've read it. You know. Listen to me. I listen to someone. When I hear something, this is what I see. As you're talking, I'm seeing scripture or not. As you speak, I'm seeing scriptures in my mind. Bim, 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 bim. It's either agreeing with you, yes, 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 or it's saying no, 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 wrong. You said something. I see three scriptures that disagree with it. One, two, three. Like that. That's how I hear. That's how I see. That's why I have to hear you first. Did you make a mistake there or did you misspeak? But after a while, and I'm listening to this 20-minute clip, multiple scriptures, contrary. Brr, no, 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 no. When you have too many no's, springing up, then it means something is wrong. So I would encourage every one of us, be a much more thorough student of the word. Don't be casual. Or you will swallow poison. And you don't want to do that. Is everything in the Bible the word of God? Only what God says? That is like asking me, if the time I was given the example of Igbo language and all that, whether I was part of the word of God. Leave all those unnecessary arguments. Everything in this book is part of the word of the Lord. Don't you use illustrations when you're talking to someone? Are you asking if everything your father said to you was the words of your father, even when he told you a story from Chinua Achebe? Answer me. Your father was talking to you and he told you, and in between, as he was saying, he said, for example, you remember Ikemefuna in Things Fall Apart? And he says something, and you know, just like that, you know, some of these political figures, they come from behind after they pretend to help you and hack you to death. Is it your father's words or Chinua Achebe's words? Am I confusing you? The word of God is the word of God. Have you heard me? The words of God. Do you know when I was having this argument about the word of God, the words of God are not in the Bible. The scriptures are not the word of God. The scriptures contain the word of God. Do you know when I was preaching that? Do you want to know? The year 2000. 23 years ago. I heard people making noise about it 3-4 years ago. Those were the kind of debates I was having the year 2000. 1999-2000. That's when I was there. You know, once in a while I hear arguments, I'm like, wow, now I can't argue that one. I argued that one in 2004. We had finished arguing it. That's why, again, I was surprised when I heard big preachers. Ah, wow, like revelation. I'm like, now? That's the only reason I'm happy. God was my teacher. The Holy Spirit was my teacher. Because his curriculum seems ahead. Ah, the grace. If you die now, you're saved. You will not go to hell. If your name is in the book of life, you don't walk around every second thinking about that. That's old news. I knew that in 1998. God help us. I haven't been worried about going to hell since around 1998. Very long. But I've heard of it being said that some GOs, mega GOs, just discovered in 2019. It stopped bothering me in 1998. I was sure I would go to heaven, but I was also sure I don't want to die. I was more sure that I don't ever want to die now. You want to get to heaven, they say, hey, 0.25 of what I told you to do, you accomplished. Take. This is for you. This is your reward. Where's the smallest thing here? Take. When they could have given you the whole building, this is what you got. Don't die, you. All of now, when you get sense, spirit of suicide, they worry you. Don't be stupid. See, if you die, it's not hell that should be your worry. It is the no reward you get. Now, your inheritance will be the grass of heaven. Some of you are like, yes, no problem. God forgive you. If you're on my grass, you pay. Because that grass, someone will be the boss of it. You just don't know. Is there any example, sir, in the scriptures where lawless people had power and did miracles without the fruit of the Spirit? Have you heard of Balaam? I preached about him last week. Balaam was his name. Balaam. He was very anointed. You should read the book of Proverbs, Numbers from what? Chapter 23? 22, 23? 24. Balaam sees visions with his eyes open. No need to pray. Some of our people are already like that. Some of you, you think when we say, after this service, we'll pray for you, you sit. Some of them, once in a while, you might hear them say, when he came in, that's from the first time you walked in like that, they were already seeing visions on your head. Without any prayer. Balaam was there a long time ago. Long time ago. Who else was anointed while lawless? You have never heard of Samson. Did I preach on Samson last week again? You haven't heard of Samson? Samson was the definition of anointing. He was unbeatable. And he was in prostitutes' houses and loose women. So you're looking for lawlessness with power. Don't read your Bible. You haven't heard of King Saul? Should I stop? I should stop, right? Example of scripture where lawless people did miracles without the fruit. Samson did not have self-control. King Saul had none too. Had envy, strife, jealousy. Samson had immorality. Covetousness was Balaam's wahala. All the different kings, the Bible, with anointings, Solomon operated in the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, like the breadth of the sea. Is it last week I talked about Solomon? Go and listen to whoever asked this question. You should have come in the last 2 weeks now. Go and listen to the messages. In the last 2-3 weeks, Sunday messages, if not Sunday, Wednesday or Friday, I've given an example. So just go online, go on YouTube, go to the live section, not the side video section, the live, the one that was recorded while the meeting went on. If it's incomplete, get the audio. The audio should be up already on Telegram. Listen to it. Solomon is one of the big examples of lawlessness. In spite of the law's instructions not to have idols or shrines, he built one for all his wives. He built for his wives that were idol worshippers. Solomon. With that kind of grace. And that's the grace many people want. That's why you can worship idols. And you are confused. You don't understand how that man of God, if what Pastor Ita said is right, then how come the power is moving with him? Because you won't read your Bible. The power is not interfered with. I heard Apostle Takim in a short clip just yesterday talk, but it's something I've said many times. I think he said it better than me though. Power. I've told you about power. You don't understand. Satan does power too. He can't do word. He can't do truth, but he can do power. So the problem with going after power only is that it can be counterfeited. You can't counterfeit truth. Except it's a false religion. Some other religion. Then they pretend it's the truth. Are you hearing me? I've given you 3 examples, 3 witnesses or 4. I could give you more, but manage that. You can check out Uzziah and others. Uzziah. A certain preacher once said that there was a time he was looking for a certain amount of money. A lady walked up to him and said, "Ah, I didn't see you at the meeting." He said he was about to deny. She brought the money out for him. And he said he heard the Holy Spirit say, "You want to be holier than me?" Sorry, an interpreter should be ready in case I don't know. He took the money. He said it was the same exact amount he needed. I want to ask if God can send money to you like that. Yes, now. What kind of question is this? Another question. Question, don't finish. I've answered. Are you waiting for more? Yes, now. I've answered. What's even special about what you said? you must be a visitor. You didn't hear me. Is it not just again in the last few days? I desire biscuits, a type. I get it. I didn't even pray it. You know, I desire it and sometimes it happens. Yeah, I just told the story. It's not long. I just told this Sirilak story. When? You know, read 2 weeks now. Huh? Have you heard this story? About Sirilak. Okay, so it's not last Sunday because that's when you came. I told you it was a Sunday, the warehouse. I was preaching and I said, when I was a child, I used to imagine myself chewing Sirilak. I left that meeting. That is like this now. Got into the car, picked my wife. We're going to wait on the Lord. Stopped by supermarket, Central Supermarket, around road to buy toothbrush. There were tins of Sirilak that sell for 1,800 to 2,000. I bought them at 2,200. I bought 4 tins. It was Sirilak, exactly Sirilak. Not like... Can you make things like that happen? I got to where when I opened it, I chewed it. Now, I didn't even ask. I was preaching like this one day and I went like, I talked about chocolate chip cookies, you know, just melts in your mouth. I walked out of there. Sister came back after the meeting from Lagos on a flight. Said, "My mother said I should give you chocolate chip cookies, Fox's chocolate chip cookies." She wasn't tuned in and she left before I preached. In fact, I don't think we were online in those days. We're not. You can't make that happen. So I don't know about an exact amount of money. One day, 3 people gave me 10,000. I think God was trying to tell me, "Oga, I got you. I can do anything." I've seen God do the weirdest things. I know as I'm telling someone, say, "Hey, how come you were saying you shouldn't have shiny things? Stop embarrassing the angels." I didn't say God can't provide needs. I didn't say I don't enjoy the supernatural. I didn't say I don't have my needs provided. I didn't say I can't. You can believe the truth without being confused. Don't be mixing confusion with truth. There's truth. Then there's confusion. There's God. Then there's idols. Don't mix idols with God. I hate idolatry. God hates idolatry. I didn't read all of Isaiah 43. Go and read it. Go and see what God's problem was from verse 1. His problem was that they had brought in idols into their worship of God. And he said, you brought it and kept it side by side. Because I'm rushing. Side by side, your threshold by my threshold. You brought your idolatry and placed it next to my house, my temple. So he destroyed them. Go and read Isaiah, the beginning. And then chapter 10, Ezekiel, where the Spirit of God left them. Then 43, the Spirit of God came back and he was warning them. He said, see, as I've come back here, don't do that thing you people used to do. There's a church, a remnant company that will not see the glory of God return. Then there's the ones that will see it. And I am called to the remnant. Someone asks you, oh, I've heard one or two people say, people have rumors. They say, well, Pastor Itawe is okay. He has insight, but he seemed to speak against other men of God. Go and sit down. Find the nearest tree that has low branches. Climb on it. Sit on a corner. You can suck your thumb if you like. Just wash your hands. Don't be unserious. You don't know what you're talking about. Do you know my calling? Why are you criticizing me? I criticize people? Who? You are criticizing me. I'm called to the second temple. Haggai. Zechariah. That's my calling. Zerubbabel. Nehemiah. Our job is to rebuild Jerusalem. That's my official mandate. There are others. There's no confusion about it. I'm 100%. It's perfectly clear. I've had years of illumination on the matter. You cannot rebuild Jerusalem with the same old errors. And to rebuild it, you must point out what your fathers did that were a mistake. Are you hearing me? I don't enjoy anything. Have you cried for men of God? It's to talk. Have you cried? Do you feel pain? Do you grieve? The other day, I'm kneeling down to pray, and then this servant of God that they even sent me this clip from on Monday, and I'm kneeling down there, and I'm tears. What do you know? And then yesterday, someone sends me a video. And I'm like, what kind of question? I sent him a message. On Monday, that after another, I prayed and for him and all that. No physical contact. Why? I'm trying to pray for myself. And Holy Spirit is pointing. And then here I am 3 days later. Someone sends me and I'm like, what is it now? I sent him a message. I said, we spoke years ago. I had communicated with him years before. I'd spoken with him. And it's the same person. What are all these coincidences? It's not a coincidence. I grieve for the body of Christ. Is it not last Sunday I told you? Have you felt the heart of God a little? Was it Sunday? And I asked you, do you want to feel? Some of you raise your hand. I told you, keep down your hand. You don't know Jack. You have no idea. You want to cry in public for nothing? How will you explain? You don't be sitting there. You just start with tears will point from your eyes. When God shows you, there's a difference between someone speaking from a place of I am better than someone and someone speaking from grief. You know the feeling like you have a child that keeps going out and they've almost raped her. They've almost killed her. There was a time they kidnapped her and freed her around Itam Junction. Your speaking is not anger. This is the anger of pain. You're like, do you want to kill yourself? That's the kind of anger I feel towards these things. And it's not something you want casual. It's not something you get. This came on me 20-something years ago. It's not new. And that's because I was praying, God, I blame Jason Upton. Break my heart with what breaks yours. I think God went like, I've been looking for you people. When God puts a burden on your heart for something, you can't, how are you going to be normal? Some of you heard of, how have you heard of Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King. Martin Luther from the year 1500s, the Protestant Reformer, Lutheran Reformation. You think Martin Luther came and said, Catholic Church, what nonsense are you preaching? Rubbish. And walked out. No, he was a priest, a monk in the Catholic Church. He wrote, he disagreed with something. They disagreed again. He went, he debated. He was hoping they would change. He never had a plan to start a new church. They never do. The sincere ones, never. You're not trying to criticize. You want to, you're hoping you can even explain that they will understand. You're wishing, you're saying, can I come see you? You're willing to spend your money. You're hoping they will understand. It is when there's no hope and they even try to kill you. They try to kill Martin Luther. A German prince had to kidnap him, pretend he had been kidnapped and killed, and he hid him away for a long time till the matter died down. They would have killed him like they had killed others that opposed them. There's a difference. When you're sincere, you don't come out trying to. I've seen sincere ones. You try to change the system till the system, like David and Saul, they try to pin you to the wall. They want to kill you. You are the one that is hoping, trying to explain. So David is explaining. See, it's not like that. See, it's not like that. Actually, what happened? No, I don't know who are all these people that are lying against me. My king, I am for you. He doesn't know a demon is on Saul and that spirit will not stop till he kills him. He used to hunt him like an animal. You think that was natural? It's demonic. It's a spiritual opposition that comes when change is coming and Satan pushes it. I want you all to understand this. I know I've said things today that I would not have thought to say, but one does not speak as they wish. You speak as you are led. We are called to rebuild Jerusalem. Some of you here are going to be part of the walls of Jerusalem and the temple, the walls of the city, the foundation of the temple, the altar, and all that. It's a big job. It's torn down. When you come and say everything is fine, you don't know what you're saying. It's on the ground. Go and read Nehemiah and Ezra. It's scattered. Our job is to put it back together again. It's not a small job. There are very few people that join to do it. A few thousands join to do it. Or there might be a few tens of thousands. Not many. The majority stay in Babylon because they are gotten comfortable. They were wealthy. Their people were in power. Esther. Nehemiah was a king's PA. So they were comfortable. You have to leave your comfort to rebuild Jerusalem. It's why many people can't. You can't leave your deacon's position, your eldership position, your position of this and that in a funky, rich church to come and be rebuilding. Those who rebuild Jerusalem, they are walking with one hand. They are carrying weapons with the other. It's a very uncomfortable job. Go and read Ezra and Nehemiah if you want to understand. It's not simple. Neither is it enjoyable. But you will be blessed of the Father. Because you are doing the uncomfortable work. And it is desire to rebuild Jerusalem. Not to strengthen Babylon. Why? Because Babylon is going to be judged. Babylon is just waiting. Its time is drawing near. Read Revelations. You see, that's the end of Babylon. 17, 18, 19. Babylon will be torn to the ground. If you are in it, he said, come out from her, my people. That's why we call out here. It has nothing to do with feeling that we are better than anyone else. But I have less and less apology for telling you you're believing error. I know I don't tell people that when I'm talking to people. I don't look at them and say, that church you are is wrong. I've struggled for so long with the Lord. But once in a while, I might say, we meet at this time. You can come visit. But the real people that I invite are my church members. I almost don't. If I could, I'll just face my side. But you are meant to come out from Babylonian systems. There's a price, so. There's a price. When it comes down, the year was December 2016. It was a Sunday like this. I said, God is going to judge churches, church buildings. God's going to pull them down. 6 days. It wasn't a mistake. It's the ways of God. A building fell. It was on CNN. The worst of its kind. In recent times. 2:16. Go and check. It happened on the 10th. I said it on the 4th. It was a Sunday. A building is going to... church buildings. God will pull them down. They used to record on phone. I don't think there's any recording, but... or maybe there is. One sister, Sister Ibim, used to come her phone. She'll keep it near my head. I didn't even know. I saw it by mistake one day. So I don't know when she started. I didn't record anything I preached then. I had no desire to collect messages. 6 days. The news said, what, 20-something, 50-something? People said in the hospital that they think it might be up to 300. Bodies were cut into half. You don't see something like that happen and say, this man, you be careful what you say now. What are you talking about saying? 6 days it took from my saying it to its happening. What evidence do you want that even me, God was teaching me? Because that meeting, I talked about the presence of the Lord Jesus showing. After that meeting, I said, before that meeting, I had said, I kept saying, in the future, I'm just pleased, I'll end. I said, in the future. So I had said in the meeting before, the all-night meeting before, I said, you know, we'll be seeing angels in these meetings. That meeting, first time ever, someone said they saw two angels standing. And they said it the next week when they came for the next all-night meeting. And they said, that so-and-so sister said she saw angels, like one like Yomba and one sign like Oshé. And I said, you guys don't know. We'll see the Lord in our meetings. That meeting, that's the meeting that the Lord showed up. Every time I'll say, in the future, we'll be seeing. It happened. That day I said, in the future, church buildings will fall down. That week, a church building fell down. Cut people in half. Whoever saw the pictures. I don't know if it's still online. You should go and look for it. You see fine girl like this. It was a Sunday. Cut her in half. Neat. Multiple. They died in en masse down there, that road. It's not hidden. If you're new, you ask. What is not one secret, was the CNN. Dead bodies everywhere. The governor was in that building. Am I meant to say like, well, maybe it's a coincidence? I told this story 2-3 years ago. I stood here and told this story. 6 days from there, a church building fell. Again. You might wonder, so what does that mean, Pastor? I don't know everything. I know little. The little I know is that there are 6 days when a man should walk the seventh year. Six marks the end of a season to a seventh day. Those two times that event occurred 6 days after I spoke, I don't really need to ask you. And neither do I need your papa's comment and say, well, actually, he has a calling. He has a message to the church. No, I knew that a long time ago. All these things just maybe remind me. So when I talk about the church, pay attention. It's my area. I'm not called to the world. That's why I'm not called to be an evangelist, to travel around preaching. I'm called to the body of Christ. So my message is, and not to my local assembly, I'm called to the church. It has always been. Every burden from university, when I pick a burden, someone's going to die, something's going to happen. It's about a Christian. Only once can I remember that I picked about someone's mother. And maybe she was a Christian, I don't know. But it's always Christians. Unbelievers can sit and feel this place. Something will happen to them. I'll not pick anything. A Christian will pass. The burden of the Lord will hit me like this. Because my calling is to the church. There are those that are called to the world. So you have burdens for unbelievers as a norm. Are you understanding? It's a calling thing. Judgments are coming on the church, whether you like it or not. We said it for years. Those examples I gave, they happen. Those that were here. And we don't even try to track these things. We don't even try. It's by error we even find out. Sometimes an outsider in another place will tell us. So do you know after a pastor said that thing that this happened? It's not a coincidence. Judgments are coming. It will be gruesome at some time. People will weep to pieces. People will completely reevaluate what you think about God and the church. And some will fall away. Many will turn away from Jesus. You say, God is not real. How could God allow that? And I've warned you ahead. Don't accuse God of unrighteousness. You sin. Then you say, how could God allow? You're lucky he hasn't wiped us out since. That we have not been overrun by Boko Haram. You're lucky. You better use the time and repent and stop pointing fingers. Because when Israel sins, he releases them to the Philistines. He releases them to enemy. When you sin, you deserve punishment. The wages of sin is death. Not was death. It is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You think it's a once and for all. It's not a once and for all. The gift is now. The wages are now. Be careful what you do. Your paymaster is around the corner. There are judgments that will come on the church, that will come on the Nigerian church. There will be a lot of weeping and moaning and groaning. People will say, how is this possible? Where was God? Don't join. Make sure you are okay. You're doing God's will. Now, God tells you, stop sinning. Stop. Be holy as I am holy. Obey that one. You don't know how to be holy. Come around. We'll teach you. Get messages where I've spoken about holiness. Listen to them. Take notes. Be a serious-minded human being. Stop being carnal, ordinary, running after what everybody's running after. Money, fame, popularity. You want to be an online star. Why do you want to be an online star? Why should you want to be an online star? You want to lose your soul and gain what? Followers? Why do you want to be that? Well, I like it now. Or is it a way of earning money? At what cost? If now only preach, they preach. Okay. Don't try to make money every way. Don't. Fear God. Seek His will. Be obedient. Submit to those who rule over you. Live a life that is pleasing to God. And you'll be fine. I can assure you. You'll be fine. God will take care of you. He will provide your needs. You will not have reason to be afraid. He will take away your sorrows. You will have deliverance on this mountain. You will. You have deliverance on Mount Zion. He will free you up and He will show you your inheritance, your possessions. You say, this is yours. This is what I've kept for you. Will it always be easy? No. Will it be hard sometimes? Will you laugh too? Yes. Will you enjoy it? You will. Give it time. You'll enjoy it. You'll be rewarded just watching the fruit of your labor. You look at people, you hear their testimony and you see how changed they are. You say it's worth it. And this is not even the award ceremony. It's still in the future. Is this clear? Don't fear man, fear God. Constantly. What does God say? What does God say? What does God say? If you're visiting us here, you have a question after this, send it in. Follow any of the online social media handles. Send it. I have a question. We'll still answer it during the week after. Our job is to help those that want to rebuild Zion. You're serious about it. You're in the right place. We will help you as we can. We won't push you into darkness. We'll push you into light. If it's false, we'll tell it a lie. If you think it's not, show us. We will show you our own. The scriptures, not the words of men. Don't follow people that have no regard for scriptures. Don't follow them. People that say, don't mind this place. Noah did not know what he was saying. Don't follow people like that. You lose your soul. Jesus said you'll be judged from scripture. So how can you judge your judge? How can you judge the one that will judge you? Rather say, I don't know the answer. And God will help you. Why God has shown me many things is because when I will come across things I don't know, I will say, God, teach me. I don't understand. And sometimes it might take 14 years before you get the answer. Will you be patient? Or will you say, I must get the answer now? But you go online then and find any answer. You know, you guys have the internet, so God have mercy on you. You don't look for any answer. No, will you wait on the Lord? Do you know there's more to getting answers than just finding what someone said? For every opinion, there are 10 others. So which one is true? To get that answer, you must wait for the Holy Spirit. You must be patient. I have many things in my head that I have no answer on. I just keep it. I've heard many opinions, but I'm still, Lord, which one? If I'm talking, I'll say, maybe it's this or that. I don't try to act like I know everything. The things I'm sure are the ones I can prove. And there are some I can prove. Be humble. Be simple. Slow down. God will be on your side. Hate sin. Love righteousness. Fear the Lord with all your heart. It's your whole duty. Amen. I will ask us to stand to our feet that we pray briefly. Listen before you stand up. After that, the first timers, I'll pray for you briefly, quickly, and the prophetic teams will sit with you a few minutes, tell you something, record it. When you go, transcribe it. Don't throw it away. Type it out on your phone, send to your email so you have it and don't lose it. It might not make sense for 2 years. 2 years from now, that thing may describe your whole life. So don't joke with it. Don't say, I didn't tell you. You know, no matter how many times I've said that, someone still shows up having lost. It's amazing. Human beings, they are wondrous. I've seen, we've given people what, like 10, some, we prayed for a person repeatedly. I remember seeing phones, there are like 14 audio messages, different prophetic words. Then they lose the whole phone. And I asked them, did you do what I said? Did you transcribe it out? They said, no, I lost it. And so many of them, I told them on the day, I said, pull it out or you may lose this phone. And I actually believe Satan attacks their phones just because of the prophetic word. I do. So many times it has happened. And they will not hear because you're not used to obedience. You don't know what it means to just obey instructions. You want to look at us and know, should I trust them? While you're looking, go and transcribe it. It is normal for people to come 3 years later and say those things they said are happening in my life now. Because God is the God, same yesterday, today, and forever. So he can speak of tomorrow today as though it is. You don't know that, but you know now. So don't joke with the things they share with you. Don't look for it to make sense. Some things may make sense to you perfectly. As they say it, you immediately know that's true. Don't only agree with the one you know. Just save it. Put the date. Use it to walk in direction. Let God use it and help you. All right? There's a gate open in the spirit. There's a door. It's a season of favor and grace. I pray all of you walk through it. You're not born again? You want to ask a question? Okay. There's a season of mercy and grace. Now, you're not born again. It's a time to get born again. Don't leave here without getting born again. Don't say, no, if pastor called me, I would have come out. I won't call you. I want to get born again. As this meeting finishes, if this is your first time, after you see me, come out, say, I want to get born again. Who do I talk to? It's not your first time, it's your second time. You want to get born again. You used to be born again. You backslid. Ask, excuse me, I want to talk to a leader. Be serious, it's your life. Be serious-minded. Be a serious-minded person in this world. You have friends. Preach to them. Stop saying we used to be bad together. You're not bad again. Hey, I was bad last week. That was last week. This is now. Tell your friend, be born again. My friend, come. Let me introduce you to someone. Let me introduce you to people. Don't bring them to me. You may not see me. There are many of our people that are only too happy to share the gospel with them. Tell someone, I want someone to come with me. Let's go and see one of my friends. Don't be saved alone. Every day, people are dying. Worse is coming. What kind of bad news is this? Me, I don't like bad news. I reject it. Did you reject COVID? Worse is coming. Worse. Disease. Outbreaks. Serious wahala. That would affect people you know and you, possibly. You do need to be walking deeply with God. Whatever you're pursuing is not that important. You think it is, it's not. Do you have food to eat? You have clothes to wear? If you don't have food, sell some of the clothes. You'll be fine. Because you have too many clothes, all of you. Don't pursue this. Please, when the meeting is over, come and pick your trinket. Don't forget to check your ear. You have things, please come here and take that which is thine. Don't pursue this. This is folly. Food and clothing. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Give it time. You'll be fine. Stop being afraid. I need to secure my future. You lose all that money. I've warned you how many times. All that money you stashed up in this and that. How many? When I started telling you years ago, you didn't believe. Between then and now, a number of you, you've lost it. I told you, you'd lose it. Money you could have given to the kingdom. Money you could have given someone. Money you could have done something useful for. A white man in Turkey ate your money. A sharp guy in Jamaica pocketed your father's money. Look at the people you gave money to. Who knows what I'm talking about, but I need to say crypto. All those people you know, all those people, including you, that money you put that disappeared, that was stolen. Someone, an unbeliever, an atheist in Europe, used it and bought a car, your money. Someone that fights Christianity. You empowered the kingdom of darkness. So who are you an agent of? Because your spiritual education is wrong. Yesterday I was reading one preacher. He used to be a preacher in South Africa. I'm known for preaching, in quotes, the truth. Now see confusion. And the Antichrist has not come. Just his perfume just started going out. Oga never come. The number one bad guy. Never show. Following. And I keep seeing people, when they really show themselves, you now go, oh, this guy thought he used to be. Why do you keep being taken by surprise? I don't see as prophetically as most people, but I can sense when someone is off now. That person is off. Is it not clear? No, you can't see. It still is too bad. You now say, oh, I thought. Why do you keep missing it? That's how you follow the Antichrist. Because you have not learned spirit, the ways of God. You're carnally minded. Earthly things engross your heart. You love the things of this world. You will have to be broken free. You love the things of this world. I may still dress nicer than you, but I won't be interested in those dressing. God may give me clothes. I have clothes that I didn't buy. All these ones I'm wearing. I have them. Some I forget. My wife tells me. You don't have to run after things to have them. So don't look at me and say, you that said this and that, why are you wearing nice things? I don't run after them. Never. Be contented with what you have. God will take care of you. Have you heard me? There's a strong warning today for someone. I believe. You might be online. I don't know where you are. But this is strong. And you see, I ought to have finished, but it's like, you know how a cup, the thing, I haven't shaken it out. So it's still there. I'm trying to empty it. You've done well to stay. But it's useless if you stay and you don't go and obey. You better go and obey. Some of you, you think you have time. You don't understand spiritual things. Some of you, the clock is ticking. A timer has been set on your head. And God is saying, let me see what you do. And if you goof, that's what they did for Nebuchadnezzar. They gave him time. 1 year later or so, he goofed. And he went crazy for 7 years. And was like a wild animal. A great king of kings. That was what they called him. A king of kings. A ruler of other kings. Was worse than he lived with animals. Eating grass. You don't know such things happen. When you don't understand spirit language. What the spirit is saying. You don't recognize signs. You don't take note of anything. You just keep hoping. Well, I hope what they are saying is not me. Who? It is love that talks. It's love that says, listen to me, my daughter. Listen. Boys are not safe. It's love. Not hatred. Hatred keeps quiet and says, what's my business? And walks past. Make sure on this mountain you listen to the warnings. Have you heard me? Don't follow people that tell you God has changed. He doesn't warn. He doesn't discipline. He doesn't judge. He does. When God has told us he's going to judge someone, he came to pass. Don't come and tell me that's not what he meant. If I said something before it happened and it happened, don't tell me that it was. What are you trying to say? It happened, it's true. God judges. Neither do you waste your time being angry. Why should God do that? Go and beat him now. God is God. You are man. And it will always be so. It's a day of salvation. It's a time of forgiveness. Maybe I'll give an altar call. I don't know. You want to give your life to Christ? Please. Make sure you speak to someone today. You're saying, I'm not sure my relationship with God is right. All right, let me do this much. Whether you're a first time or second time or third time, as we pray, when we are done, please come this way. Just come to this front seat. The people here, just clear out for me. Okay, you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't think I am God or cool. Come to this row and stay this way. Is that okay? Is that okay? Just do it. But I'll pray for the first time as inside. And also, if you come inside there and you're among them, tell me, hey, I won't give my life to Christ. I'm not. Say it. I pray you won't be like the 500 people I've seen who come and that's it. Once, that's the end. That's the end. Tomorrow they say, why, God, why? Don't joke with God. It's not your meat. He has a right to you. He made you. Don't harden your heart before it becomes stone. And then you know you have backslidden. Also join them. You can stand to your feet, please. The first prayer point, I believe, should be used. Telling the Lord, thank you. Thank you for all the things you have said to us today. Thank you for warning me. Thank you for loving me. Give him praise. Give him praise. Father, we are grateful. Him whom the Lord loves, he chastises. The one the Lord loves, he warns. He corrects, he rebukes. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for loving us, for speaking to us sternly, strongly. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen. I want you to ask the Lord to help you learn the language of the Father. Demons are spiritual, but there's the Father. When Satan speaks, John 8:44, it's a lie. He speaks spirit language, but it's a lie. How does it come when Satan speaks? It comes like your mind, exactly like your thoughts. That's why many of you don't hear God. How many of you, when you came, you were first time I prayed for you, and as I was praying about things. Now, I didn't know you, I hadn't met you before, but I prayed about things that were specific to you. And you were like, okay, wow, that applies to me. Let me see your hand. I said when I was praying, not prophetic to me, when I lay hands, that I was praying and saying things, I was touching. Let me see your hand. Good. Now, those things came to me. I don't even know how to say it. For me, the way my works, it doesn't even come to my mind necessarily first. 80%, it just comes out of my mouth. My gifting can be a bit difficult. It's why I don't remember. It's why I have to ask you, what did I say? I don't know it, then say it. There's no, very few things do I know. I hear a song, then I know something. That's how I know some people are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once my mouth says, let the river run, then I might stop saying, but no, I know you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, because I just heard. So the river is not running, you know, normally, most of the time. And I hear a song or something. But some people hear it first. I'm explaining for those of you that say, God doesn't talk to me. He talks far more than you know. You just don't know spirit. Spirities. You don't know. I'm not saying you should go everywhere and say, God said to me. Some of you are very careless. You like to tell people God said something. I've spent years observing. I know I'm very cautious. I'm too cautious. I'm not saying you should be like me, but neither am I saying you shouldn't be like me. Me, I test myself over and over again. And so many times I've found out the way the Holy Spirit speaks is how Satan speaks too. So for me, the Holy Spirit comes as words coming out of my mouth because he told me that in 1998 or 9, told me that that's how it would happen. Okay, I've seen it over the years. And it's as I speak. So I need to open my mouth to even hear. I need to open my mouth. Normally, I have to say something. Either I'm praying or talking to you. But as I open my, he said, my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart. So I have to open my mouth and let out words. Then he will begin to speak. But I don't know it or see a vision and then tell you. It's like, it's not even like, again, for me, not even like thoughts. It's just, some people, it's not so, it's clearer. Some people get clearer things. But it will not always be so clear. It will be a mixture. Be a mixture. Satan also talks like that, like thoughts. When you say, I had a bad thought. That's Satan talking to you. That's the voices from the spirit realm. Stand up, sit down. That's it. How do you know which one to go with? Your knowledge of the word. Are you understanding? Your study of scripture tells you, God shouldn't be saying I should do that. Why would God say, go and visit your old flame, your ex? Why? Well, you never know. There's nothing to know. Don't go anywhere. Sit down. Don't visit anything. I have heard many people say, I just felt led there. And they went and led to fornication and were laid. This has happened many times. I've heard the story. Don't tell me it was God. I just felt, well, maybe I did reach out to him. So, you know, I was just having a burden. Shut up and pass the burden. As they threw the burden to you, just find your disciple. Please take this burden for my old flame. I'm just feeling it. Call immediately. Don't reach out to your old ex or waiting for the ex. Now you become an ex-Christian. Because you went to the house of an old flame and got burnt. Be organized, be obedient, be diligent. Are you hearing me? There's a method. Test all things. I want us to know, as you're going to pray, you're going to ask the Lord. Remember, holiness is how you stay on top of this mountain and you're not a visitor. So many times you have come and gone down. Stop going down. Stay up. Ask the Lord to forgive you for all the times you've turned away from him and ask him to help you stay separate from the things of this world. Pray. Father God, help us. We don't know how, but help us. Help us learn. Help us test all things. Help us follow the manner of the Spirit. Help us remain on the mountain. Help us abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Good Father, help us stay on the mountaintop. Help us follow the protocol. Good Father, help us. We look to you. We look to you. We look to you and we are saved. Grace comes from you. May we stop visiting, coming and going. May we remain. May we remain. Deliver us from the common, from the ordinary. Help us live holy, separate. Help us desire the things that pertain to life and godliness. Help us be holy as you are holy. Rid us, O God, of the impatience and greed and indiscipline that will destroy us. Thank you, great God. Help comes from you. Thank you, good Father. Amen. I know you'll have to go home and pray more on the things you heard. Some of you have to listen to the message again. Give time and thoughts to these things. I want you to ask the Lord to help you heed the warnings. Stop. Help you get rid of all the spiritual poison you have taken in. When you are listening to the word of God, people mixed in some poison, knowingly or unknowingly. And they began to teach you that in this place is all love. The one whom the Lord loves, he flogs. That's what the Bible says. Revelation 3. I don't know why people believe people that say things without quoting the scripture. When someone talks and say, I'm speaking by the integrity of scripture, ask, give me the scripture. What does the scripture actually say? It's why I don't say things without scripture. How do you know I am right? Pray and ask the Lord that the warnings you receive in this holy mountain, the place when the Lord speaks to you, reveals himself to you, that you receive the warning. He will teach you the way so that you feel ashamed enough to only do what is right. You change your modus. Tell him to do a work in you that will qualify you so you can have access to the safe place. Let your warnings stay in me. Everything that steals away your warnings, including the love of money, immorality, take it away, good Father. Take it away, good Father. Take it away, good Father. Take it away, take it away, take it away. Take it away, good Father. Take it away. Help us receive the warnings you give. Help us walk under the shadow of your words. Help us esteem your words more highly. Every temptation to go with doctrines of men, doctrines of demons. Oh my God. Ask God that you will esteem him. Don't feel. Ask. Say, please. I don't esteem you. I don't fear you. Put your fear in my heart. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Let what happened to Solomon not happen to you. What happened to Samson not happen to you. What happened to King Saul not happen to you. What happened even to David at some point not happen to you. May you not fall prey to presumption of perfection. Oh, give us grace. Deliver us from that which is common to man, a proneness to falling. Thank you, good Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I'd like you to lift your hands. Father, I'm asking that you confirm your word to your children. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit of error that has found place in any heart here, spirit of error, I rebuke you and expose you now. Amen. The sword of the Spirit go to walk upon you now. Amen. I command your power broken off the eyes and ears of everyone in this place. Amen. I speak liberty, and out from this place, let there be warriors of truth that will go and set others free. Amen. Let freedom become our practice. Amen. This is our prayer, great God. Arise, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Amen. Help these ones join to rebuild Zion, O God. Amen. Help them be rebuilders of Zion, O God. Amen. That you might find a place to set up your throne and place your feet. Amen. Let the church again be known as the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. Let the church be known as the pillar and ground of truth. Amen. A place for light, a place for only truth. No more lies. No more lies. No more lies. Amen. Oh dear, I hope I have your agreement. Are you okay with lies? No. Father, I ask, may this one feel a burden when they hear lies. Amen. Oh God, share. Let them feel a little of what you feel in the presence of falsehood. Amen. Oh, rip those hearts apart, Lord God. Sprinkle it, Karebaku Shategada. Lord, how will we rebuild Zion when there's so much rubbish? Lord, let there be a softening of hearts, a tenderness of hearts. Help them feel the pain you feel when they are listening to Satan masquerading as an angel of light. May they only be moved by truth. May they know a lie from 1,000 miles off. May they record. May they not believe a lie, so they will not be given over to a spirit of delusion. Amen. And become followers of the lawless one. Amen. When he manifests. Amen. May these ones here not become those that will follow the lawless one, the Antichrist, when he manifests. Amen. Help them pay the price of being ready. Amen. Help them go up the mountain and stay.
Amen.
Thank you, good Father.
Thank you, Lord.
May their staying, Lord God, count for something.
Amen.
Father, you promise if we seek you, we will find you. They have sought you. Let them find you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. If you have an offering, I'm praying for that, and then I'm closing. Remember the meetings that are coming up. Father, I thank you for every offering and every offering that has been given already. Father, I ask that it be received. On your behalf, I ask that it be used to extend your kingdom and your purposes. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking for that person that has a need that may have been held up, even for the week now. I'm asking for a release of that need.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let it be held up no more.
Amen.
Father, I'm asking that you deliver your children from trinkets.
Amen.
And distractions.
Amen.
As their eyesight is being recalibrated, help them see clearly.
Amen.
Let them be agents of righteousness.
Amen.
May we come to a place where, because we are ashamed at our former ways, we will not be ashamed when we see you.
Amen.
Oh, may we suffer shame now so we will feel no shame when we see you.
Amen.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. It's a season of grace. I ask that we enter into that grace.
Amen.
Let your unction come on your children. Let them go with grace.
Amen.
Let their bread be provided and their water.
Amen.
Blessed be your name.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at God's-Lighthouse.org.